Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the program. My name is Simon Barrett, and this week I'm joined by activist, author, and barkeep Sam Moffey, who I'm trying to bring on the switchboard as quickly as I can. Sam, welcome.
Thank you, Simon. Sorry I called late. I read the clock wrong.
Oh, you guys.
it's just one of those it's been one of those lazy, slow-moving Sundays that don't happen much in my life. And I've been trying, my wife and I have been trying to enjoy it, and I just lost track of time, so I apologize.
And by the way, Sam, you and I should be on our way to Tucson, Arizona.
Yes, we should be.
Do you want to explain why?
Sure, would love to. I'm honored to. I wrote a book called Kill the Duke. It's a based on a real-life plot of Joseph Stalin during the heyday of the Cold War to assassinate John Wayne. And part of the book involves a movie, one of the worst movies ever made, called The Conqueror. But it's so bad, it's good. And through my research on the book, I met a living stuntman from that film, a great stuntman, an ex-Navy frog. So he was a frogman during World War II. So he was a SEAL before the SEALs were even around, by the name of Jack Young, and introduced him to you. You've done some great interviews with him. And he's alive and kicking and going to be taking part in the, was it the 50th anniversary of Living Stuntmen in Old Tucson, where they filmed many, many Westerns over the years. Invited you and I to go there, but alas, poor York, we don't have enough dough to go.
Right. I believe he's 87 years old.
Yes, he says 87 years young, and that's why he's Jack Young. But I really wanted to get him. He was going to show me how to fall off a horse, how you don't hurt yourself, and you know how to properly draw a gun from a six. All those things I always wanted to do as a kid and fantasized about in a Western movie, and that's what he taught movie stars how to do. He was excellent at it, and you've seen clips of him and some of the stunts he did. His famous stunt was getting shot off a horse, rolling off the back of it, and then falling off. I know that a lot of people don't, but, you know, nowadays it's all done by computers, if it's even done at all. And when it comes to that, there's not as much stunt work as there used to be. But I think he broke almost every bone in his body at some point or other, yeah.
I always enjoyed talking to him, and, you know, his story's great. I mean, he doesn't like modern movies. Yeah, that's
not a real stunt. Yeah. Yeah, he says, well, you know, it's all car crashes, and, you know, it put the modern, as he said, modern-day movies have put a lot of stuntwomen out of business. There's only so many jobs around, and it's taken by the few, and, you know, and what else can you say? But it's also his the history of Old Tucson that he knows. He's sort of like the unofficial ex-mayor, old mayor of Old Tucson, and knows everybody, everything, where they filmed stuff. He has treasure chest of nostalgia that I told him he's got to get on eBay and get rid of some of the stuff, some of the autographs he's got of you know, the actors and actresses, you know, offset doing things, pictures, what they did. He took the cornucopia of, you know, old movies, old movie westerns especially. And I'd love to meet him before too long.
Right, and so would I. And also joining us from the wilds of L.A. is the always colorful John Perry. John, welcome.
Hey, Simon, surprised to be with you today. I thought the Internet would be taken down and completely dismantled due to this sequester, but good to be with you anyway.
Ah, good one. We're going to come back to that. Unfortunately, our other regular panelist, Peter Haven, cannot be with us this week. He has a paying job that he has to do today, but he'll be back next week. Okay, it was an interesting week. While the likes of Sam Moffey John Perry and myself. Oh, and 99% of Americans battled on, just trying to keep our heads above water. Our elected leaders in Washington did absolutely nothing. In fact, they started their weekend early. I guess you can do that, you know, when you have a $175,000 salary, free health care, a nice pension system, and a big expense account. It doesn't matter if you lean left or you lean right. There's something wrong with this stinking picture. And the sequester is hit. Sam, we've talked about this before. I mean, 2-point-something% is the budget cut, but they're talking about it costing 700,000 jobs. I mean, what the hell are these people in Washington doing?
Well, let's go. You started something. I'd like to finish it. The actual net worth of the average Congress representative is $785,000. The average net worth of the United States senator is $2.3 million. You've already talked about the salary, Simon. They also get a free company car, free gas, free parking, free flights. When they go on a junket, they get a per diem allowance of $3,000 per trip. They get a month paid vacation. They only have 3-day work weeks. Free membership to one, they say, it's one of the best gyms in the world. So it doesn't look like many of them go to it, though. Of course, the 401k, they can retire at age 62, still work, but get 44% of their retirement, plus they'll get their salaries. So what did they do? Why would they do anything with that type of salaries and perks? Why would you do anything? You're just going to piss people off, and they might not vote you back in. You might. Someone might run against you. So why would you want to upset that apple cart? I think that they talk about the 785. Who got laid off? What? Somebody who's a janitor in the White House making probably 50,000, 60,000, 70,000 a year, 20,000 to 30,000 more than the average janitor makes slopping, swabbing the deck at a private. Business, or even including my restaurant, my janitor doesn't get that much, but kind of close to getting paid what the janitors of Washington, D.C., or any other government building do. I know some civilian employees got laid off. My son, Josh, who's based up in California, told me that they all got furloughed to 3 days a week. And I know some prison guards who drink at my bar every 2 weeks starting March, starting next pay period, they get a day off paid. So those are the type of people laid off. I don't think any essential, quote-unquote, essential first responders got laid off. I don't think any teachers. And I think basically Obama and his minions have played a great game of Chicken Little. And it's, as John said, the sequester hit, and so did the weekend, and nothing else happened.
Right, and John, you assume me to be pretty left wing, but let's face it, you know, when you look at those numbers, it doesn't matter if you lean left or you lean right. I mean, these guys have it made in spades. I mean, how can they even relate to the man in the street?
I think it does matter, Simon, but notwithstanding that, a couple of things. Sam, I didn't hear that study, because if senators are only worth $2.3 million, there's 100 of them. That's $230 million, right?
That's the net worth, right.
Okay, John Kerry alone, John Kerry Heinz, is worth over $600
million. Right.
So he's worth three times the entire Senate?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's not all of them are, you know, like, I don't think my hero, Rick Paul, I know he's got his wealth from his dog.
No, I'm just saying, there's tremendously rich people there, like Feinstein, Jay Rockefeller. Herb Cole.
Well, wait a minute. John Kerry is no longer United States Senator.
No, he brought down the average, but still, I got to believe it's a lot more than $2 million, Sam, the average.
Well, I don't think he's running around writing checks to Egypt and Syrian rebels, whoever they are, with his own paycheck.
Oh, not his own money, no.
Checkbook. No,
but,
I think he's using our government money.
But about Mr. Glesser, I love the way Maxine Waters said it was going to cost 167 million jobs, and she pronounces it sequestration, like Ryan Seacrest, who apparently, if he isn't made an American Idol judge, no.
Okay, John, you're doing the usual John deal. You're avoiding the question.
I'm just trying to set the record straight, Simon, but go ahead.
No. Well, just for once, try not to set the record straight, but actually answer the question. You know, if you're getting paid $175,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
and you have all of these freebies, free health care, free flights, mm-hmm. a company car, a $1 million worth of expense accounts so that you can have a force behind you, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you really give a rat's ass about the poor guy that's working for a living?
Do I get free trips to Hawaii and golfing lessons with Tiger?
John, all right, try and answer the question.
Well, I just wanted to clarify. Do I get free lessons with Tiger?
I'm sure that anyone in Congress or the Senate could go golfing with Tiger if that's what they desire to do.
Okay, then no, I don't think anyone who does that can relate to the average person.
Right. So we elect these buffoons.
No, you did. I didn't.
John.
Put this on me, Simon. You elected
them. John, let's try and stay on track just for, a couple of minutes.
All right, but I can take the blame for a lot of things, but not electing Obama. Come on.
Okay, as I said, let's just try and stay on track for a couple of minutes. Right, you have a bunch of people. You got 100 senators and a whole gaggle of, House members.
I think it's down to 434 now after Jesse Jackson pled guilty.
Let's try and stay on track. All right, they're earning this big money, that they have great perks. Why on earth would they try and solve anything?
Is that a rhetorical question?
If you want, but try and keep the answer on track.
Why would they try to solve anything?
Right.
Personal pride in the job, concern for the country, individual character and principle. I don't know, Simon. It's up to each individual. Why does anybody want to do a good job on anything? It comes down to personal character and integrity, doesn't it?
It does indeed. I agree with you. Sam, this sequester is being blown up in one way and being played down in another. But don't you think that the people we elected, and it doesn't matter if it's Democrat or Republican, they should have worked harder this week, and yet they decided, oh no, let's take off for an early long weekend.
Well, they always do that. They always take off a long weekend. They only work 3 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They're off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. If, let's face it, this has been going on since August 2011. This is nothing new. This is, as a matter of fact, it's a question. The man who I think, the president is the one who wanted to sequester as a way to, if you go back in history, not that far, and don't listen to the mainstream media, the president wanted to sequester as a way, that was his answer to not endorsing Simpson-Bowles. And if Simpson-Bowles would have been endorsed, we would have already gone through the pain, and we would be in great shape right now in the year 2013. But Simpson-Bowles wasn't reenacted, and it's the beginning of a good plan. It's not the answer all, but it's the start of something good. And that's bipartisan, done by people of both parties who were retired from Washington. Erskine Bowles and Alan Simpson, Bowles was a Democrat, Simpson was a Republican, and people who were on it. And they wanted drastic, drastic cuts in spending, drastic, you know, everything. Across the board, no priority, no sacred cows, everything. Obama couldn't deal with that, even though it was his idea to put them together. He came up with the sequester idea. Boehner and the Republicans basically went around in order to get more money, more borrowing agreement. Because these guys never thought, and women, men and women never thought that they would ever be at the point that they were Friday, that they would let drastic cuts, not really drastic cuts, but for these guys, drastic cuts come effect in Washington. They thought they'd make a deal, they'd kick the can down the road. Republicans probably thought Romney would win, things would be different that way. The Democrats probably thought they'd take over the House. Obama would win, and they'd be able to keep kicking the can down the road and that nature. It didn't happen, and we were forced with this, and now we're going to live with it. And the best thing is, Simon, it's really not – it hasn't affected me. It hasn't affected you. It's not going to, because we don't work for the federal government. That's the beauty of this thing. And so most Americans, in my opinion, are going to be sitting there going, you know, what's the big damn deal? My life hasn't changed at all. My gas prices were going up before then. They're going to continue to go up. I have to wait in lines at the airport before. I'm still waiting in lines now. And teachers aren't going to get laid off. That was crazy. You have to put Obama to say that. And some other things. And active duty military personnel. It's not like they took one out of every three people had to leave the nasty world out there, and we reduced our fighting forces. We didn't reduce weaponry. We didn't reduce bullets and this and that. As a matter of fact, we're giving more money now in foreign aid under this sequester and under this president than we ever had before. And we're giving it to countries that don't deserve it, who kick sand in our face, who hate Israel. And I hope the next step that's going to come out of this is most Americans are going to say, bring that foreign aid home and take care of America and Americans first and America's sons. So that, I think the sequester thing is going to be the beginning of the end of a crazy, terrible spending that is run by 535 people, their bureaucrats, and their special interests. And I see something good coming from this.
Well, I do believe that in the sequester should have been, elected person to the Senate or the House will get paid.
I agree with you, Simon, and I believe somebody, I think Boehner presented that right before the Obama got his tax hikes. Everyone forget that. You know, they did, you know, I got to give, I'm not a big John Boehner fan, okay? But the Republicans did cave at the 1st of January with the quote-unquote fiscal cliff and did give the president what he wanted, a tax increase across the board. He and his minions do not want to cut spending at all. That's obvious. That has come out obvious big time now.
We all got hit with a 2% payroll tax increase, and anybody over, what was it, 250, 3% hike.
Yeah, and also there was a bigger tax on the capital gains, too. There was a huge tax increase. So I'm thinking, okay, Republicans, to their credit, caved a little and said, okay, we're going to compromise, we're going to give you this.
They caved a lot.
And they caved a lot. That's correct. The Democrats have not caved. They thought, aha, they caved, we can push them. Now is the time for a man who is a true leader to step up and be president of the United States during when the Republicans caved. And it isn't this man.
But, Sam,
he won't talk about gun control. I think gun control is an important issue. We've talked about it a lot. But $16 trillion in debt. We have a budget. The Senate hasn't passed the budget. Obama hasn't passed the budget. How the hell do you know what you're cutting when you don't even have a budget, number one? And at the end of the month, the government could shut down. Now, that would hurt Americans. That would hurt Americans. I don't think they're going to do that.
You got the same thing coming up in a month. What's he going to do?
Well, he's got to have something else coming up. They're running out of borrowing money.
Right.
Big things coming up. Right. They're running out of money. Right.
We're on this slippery slope. It's not a fiscal cliff. I think calling that is wrong, but it is a bit of a slippery slope.
Yes.
All right. We've got this sequester, and even Fox News is claiming that it will cost jobs. Now, how important those jobs are, don't know. I doubt that they're going to axe the Surgeon General or John Kerry or anyone like that. But it's a problem. All right, and now we're heading to this borrowing limit, which in itself is kind of a stupid situation. All I see is gridlock and deadlock in DC, and something needs to happen. I don't care what you do as long as you do something, but no one in D.C. seems to want to do anything. Obama would rather go golfing with whatever his name is, Boehner, who knows. Mitch McConnell was on the doing the rounds this morning on Candy Crowley, or Crowley, or however she pronounces her name. And, it was obvious. He doesn't want to negotiate. And that's always a poor position. And Sam, you run a small business. If half of your staff took the stance of, I demand this, otherwise we're not going to work, you have to think twice. Not because you necessarily agree with them, but you need to keep your doors open. And right. And what I'm seeing out of Washington is a complete disconnect from reality.
Yeah, I agree with Simon. I think most Americans are starting to see that, and they're starting to see this government where these people are, and you brought it up right. I applaud you. How much money these people are making? It's sickening. It's sickening. How about their staff? How about their staff? And have you seen? I've seen one person, and I'm very biased. Senator Rand Paul provide a plan. He had a plan to save $85 billion without laying off one person, and not without even cutting one department. One of the things he talked about was not replacing anybody who's retiring. That meant something. I forget what they all were. He was on Stossel the other night, but then when he said, when you really want to save, and it made sense. It was simple ideas that they will not put in place in Washington because it's going to make – it might actually make these guys have to work 4 days a week. Maybe people they won't get the freebies that they're getting. That's what they want. They don't want to – they don't want to do anything because they're afraid it's going to cost them these great, wonderful jobs that they shouldn't have. They forget who they work for. Perot was right way back then. The founding fathers are way back right. They work for us at every level. And it's not just at the federal level. It's just as obnoxious at the state level. It's just as obnoxious at the county level. And it's even just as obnoxious at the local level where, you know, we just can't do anything. Government is out of control. It's run amok. And we get the government that we deserve, as the saying goes, because those people who try to stand up, and we talked about this last week, where's the media? Other than Fox News doing stuff against the Democrats and the Republicans being kept honest by MSNBC, but there's no really – and CNN times a little bit of both. You know, my local newspaper is bought and sold liberal Democrats, the government. Happy. And I finally found out why. They're losing money in advertising, except in one place and one place only. Government advertising is keeping this our local newspaper afloat. Without the government ads, and you know, whether it's a contract for bid, a job being out there or whatnot, they'd have to close their doors. And I'm thinking, well, why is the government in today's world not even advertising on the websites? Jobs for bid, advertising, whatever they have to do. Put on the website. You know, everyone has access to the internet, and if they don't, they're not. You know, they. I don't know anybody that doesn't have access to the internet. Our government pays for advertising and newspapers in today's world. Well, of course, the newspapers are never going to go for that. But so therefore, they will repeat everything that the powers that be say because they want that advertising money to come in.
I've got to bring you in on this, and again, I think what Sam is talking about it is not partisan. It's not left or right, but the system is screwed up. I mean, what can we do to fix it?
Well, Simon, here's where I disagree with you and probably Sam. To me, there's a difference between negotiation and appeasement. I'm all for negotiation, but I'll be damned if I'm going to support someone who's an appeaser. And Obama already got his tax increase, like Sam said.
I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to give you the same rules of engagement that I did before. Try and stick to answering the question.
I thought I was.
Have you ever considered a life in politics?
You were talking about negotiation. I'm saying I think you're advocating appeasement, and I'm against that.
No,
I'm not appeasing anybody.
That's my point. It's all the Republicans. We're supposed to appease Obama. And we
wait a minute. No, this Democrats, no, we're not supposed to appease Obama. We're supposed to bow down to Obama. So the Democrats.
But Simon's saying we need to negotiate. How much can you give in without sacrificing your principles and integrity?
John, who in Washington, D.C. has principles and integrity? I don't think anybody does. The only one I see who gives a damn is Rand Paul, but I'm sure he, being a politician, he doesn't. There's probably some things that he misses out too. They're royalty. They are royalty, and the quicker we overthrow this throne of Republicans, Democrats at all levels, the only way it's going to work. But they're not going to take care of anybody but their special interest in themselves. This has been going on for years. And look where we're at. You got a president of the United States, and he doesn't have to worry about re-election.
It's kind of hard when the president hates half the country.
I don't think he hates half the country. He has an agenda.
He doesn't know how to be president.
Over his head. He does not know. He's in a perfect position after this. First of all, he had Simpson Bowles. First of all, he's had, and he was against that. He came up with this plan in conjunction with the Republicans. And what are they doing? He got his tax increase. He won a decisive election. He just he He's got his tax increase. Now is the time, knowing 2 months down the line that we're going to be, as Simon pointed out, a slippery slope. Where's the leadership?
Sam, you don't think he hates anyone who doesn't want to just write him a blank check and let him distribute money as he pleases to his special interests, as you put it?
No, I don't want any president to have that right. I want Congress to be a check and balance. But this Congress also, Republicans, refused to make important decisions too, such as cutting off aid, which has been brought up many times to Libya, to Egypt, and whatnot, in Syria. And we're giving the money. Republicans, John, are supporting Obama's administration, giving money, oodles and oodles of money to unstable countries in the Middle East. No different than what, you know, the different forms of Charlie Varane's out there, who we never should have supported, and we did, and everybody knew it. Everybody knew it, but because we were afraid of the Russian, the domino effect in the 70s, which was long over, and it cost us the Vietnam War, all the people that killed in the Vietnam War and all that stuff, because we were afraid of the Russians. And now we're afraid of the Islamic country, and we're giving them, and we're buying them with money that we don't have. How does John Kerry and Barack Obama and all the Republicans who are supporting all the quote-unquote Syrian rebels? I mean, think about this, guys. We wouldn't have, the French helped us in the American Revolution, correct? If it wasn't for the French, sorry, Simon, I know you're British. If it wasn't for the French, we would have been able to beat the British, right? Okay. When the French Revolution came around, we didn't do diddly squats for the French people. Didn't do anything. It was the beginning of the Jefferson-Hamilton feud. I wish Manny was on to verify that. We didn't help them at all. We stayed out of that.
Oh, that's very true, of course.
Okay, but here we are helping Syrian rebels, we have no idea, probably aligned with Hezbollah and Hamas and Al-Qaeda, overthrow a legitimate government. Well, you know, why? And we're giving them, we just gave them $60 million in quote-unquote non-lethal aid? I mean, I love that doublespeak, non-lethal. where are our priorities? And I tell you where they are, because you know what? Every Republican and every Democrat who's supporting this president giving oodles of money up to the Islamics should all have plexiglass stomachs so they could see that their heads are all up their asses. And that's the problem. And there are a lot of Republicans doing it, John. They will not stop giving money and creating this arms. It's a double arms race. We give Egypt money, 500 tanks. We have to give Israel 501 tanks. And that keeps the defense contractors happy, that keeps politicians in the district happy, and that's why we're screwed. And that money should be staying at home, and I think that's going to be the next big debate that comes out of the sequester, when most Americans scratch their heads and go, what are these people bitching and moaning about? Hasn't affected my life.
You're saying we shouldn't borrow money from the Chinese and give it to Islamists?
John... Whoa! You're playing politics again.
Why should we borrow money from anybody? We shouldn't be in that position.
All right,
John,
I'll put it in really simple terms, and try and narrow your angle of attack. We in America have a lot of poor people. We have hungry people. We have people that are working very hard and finding it very difficult to survive. So why should we be giving millions and millions of dollars in aid to countries that do not necessarily support us?
Okay, Simon, I think you're conflating helping people, giving them money, with benefiting them. If you look, the more money we spend on poverty programs, the more people are in poverty. 1 in 6 Americans are in poverty today, 50 million people on food stamps. If you're saying we should increase that number, I can't be good with that. I'd rather give it to foreign countries.
John, you're playing the usual John game.
I'm just telling you, you're not helping people.
You're avoiding the question. Okay, I have $10 in my wallet.
Mm-hmm.
Should I spend it in the U.S. or should I mail it to some far-flung country?
Simon, that's your decision. I wouldn't presume.
No. It's a simple yes.
I'm not going to tell you how to spend your. You do whatever you think's right as an individual.
Oh, okay. What do you think is right? I
don't know. I'm not for myself. I would spend the money in this country, but I'm not going to tell other people just because I feel that way. They have to follow suit. Like I know, what was it? Oprah has this school in South Africa. That's her right.
Sure, and you know, she supports it. That's great.
I just don't think you should try to bully people into telling them where their charity should go.
Here's the difference, John. If it's your money and Simon's money, you're absolutely dead on. I shouldn't be able to tell John or Simon what to do with your money, but we're talking about the people's money. We, the collective people, money is taken from my paycheck. Money is taken from my business. I pay taxes up the wazoo. I pay a tax on every possible thing I am taxed on. And where is that money going? It is not going back to my roads and infrastructure. It's not going to help kids go to school. All it does is create a bigger and worse government that then makes stupid decisions with our money, such as supporting foreign countries why Americans suffer. And I agree with you, John, the war on drugs is a joke, the war on poverty is a joke. I agree with you. However, if there's less money going to government via taxes or whatever for them to piss out and they have less borrowing abilities, that's more money that's that's more capital kept in the private sector. So people are paying less taxes and people don't have to worry about borrowing, the high cost of things, to be creating jobs, to be investing in businesses. And we don't take taxpayers' money and bail out Wall Street. What a joke that was. We're going to bail out anybody. They should have bailed out everybody's homes, for crying out loud. I'm still pissed off about that. So who makes these decisions? 535 assholes, that's who. And look what they've gotten us. Look what they've gotten us. We're in worse shape today than we were during the financial crisis of 2008. Worse shape, because the debt's up higher. We have more unfunded nations in the world. We don't know what's going on. I'm very disappointed in Obama. I thought in his second term, he got what he wanted, he would act presidential.
And all right, Sam, let me ask you. To me, the question is, like, do you want to give the money to foreign aid to whoever you think it's justified, or companies like Solyndra?
No. I don't want to give money. I don't think government should be in the real estate business. Government shouldn't be in the foreign aid.
I don't either, but that's where
business.
It's going. That seems to be the choice. That's my
point. But Barack Obama didn't invent that. John Boehner didn't invent that. Nancy Pelosi didn't invent that. It's been around for probably 50, 60, 70, maybe longer years than that. And it's wrong.
He did invent $16.5 trillion.
He didn't start the 1 through 10.
We're uncharted territory now.
We were uncharted territory the first time we borrowed, we got to $1 trillion. And you know what happened, John? Whoever was in office at that point in the Congress and the Senate said, ooh, no one cares. Let's go borrow $2 trillion. And then they said, ooh, no one cares. Let's go get $3 trillion. And it's been going on and on. You know, it's been going on and on and on. And, you know, it's like, you remember the great comic strip Pogo? Rock Kelly? Well, there was a great comic, you should look it up, Sab, very politically. It was Doonesbury before Doonesbury was, with animals instead of humans. And basically, Pogo used to say, look in the mirror, we've met our enemy, and it is us. And look in the mirror, Americans, we've met the enemy, and it's us. Go watch your Honey Boo Boo. Go watch your American Idol. Go watch whatever you're doing. Don't watch the news. Don't pay attention. Don't even know who your vice president or president's doing. Don't care that these people are making, as Simon's pointed out, how much money they make, how little they work, what they do. Go to a government, any government office, and how many people are really working in there? And then if you do ask them a question, they treat you like shit. Okay, and they, how dare you interrupt them? They don't give you answers. All they do is take. And the United States government, the state governments, the county and local governments ought to change the name to one big corporation, engulf and devour. That's all they're doing.
Okay, John, a question for you. Let's say there was $1 billion just laying around. You know, just in the, in some dusty
petty cash
room. Yeah, petty cash. Would you prefer to send that $1 billion to some country that you've barely heard of to help them out, or would you spend that money fixing a couple of infrastructure issues, like potholes in the roads, maybe bridges? Your choice.
Is it limited to that, or could I think of my own use?
Sure, but try and keep on point. I know you're not very good at it.
I would like to suggest something that I don't think anyone else has thought of.
Okay.
If I had $1 billion, what I would do, and it has to do with minimum wage, actually, I would give it to companies or find people I trusted who would honestly spend it, maybe people like Sam. And I'd actually like Sam's opinion on this if he thinks it's workable. I would like to see a program instituted, an after-school program, pay kids, especially in the poor areas, $5 an hour. They would have to report to a job after school and work two of the hours, like sweeping the floor or stocking, and two of the hours they have to study. So they could make $20 a day and work on their studies and get a little business experience and develop some pride and discipline, and hopefully build on that.
Good Lord, John. That's the most serious thing I've ever heard you say.
Yeah, I came up with that. I was thinking, you got to help the kids. You got to start when they're young. And I really think if the government spent money on a program like that, it would have a lot, and it would keep kids out of trouble, too. And they'd make a little money and develop some pride, and they'd be forced to study, too.
Right.
So I really think we should target our programs to that. And also, I'm a big advocate of rehabilitation in prison, not just warehousing people.
John, I've been trying to rehabilitate you for ages.
I'm a lost cause, Simon. I'm incorrigible, but thanks for the effort.
But I think that finally you're saying that if that there are dollars, let's spend them at home, not give them to some foreign country.
I don't want to give them to anybody. That's my point, Simon. Have people earn them. They'll feel better about it. I don't want to give them to anybody. That's my point. I don't think it helps the beneficiary.
And Sam, you're obviously speechless.
Well, even a blind squirrel finds a nut. We just realized that with John. No, John, that was that's a beautiful program. That's a beautiful program that you came up with, but there's a problem with that. I only have one problem with it.
All right.
The government instituting it. They would screw up, but the government screws up a wet dream.
Right.
So,
I was thinking, too, they couldn't be eligible for unemployment or workman's comp or any of that. It would be more like
I think in theory it sounds great and this and that, but in practice they'll screw it up. And then they'll start limiting who gets it and all that. The government that governs best governs least. Thomas Jefferson, thank you. We are in the government that just grabs and takes. And then the people, we're held hostage. We are 300 million Americans are probably held hostage by 10 million Americans.
But Sam, don't you think that would be a good way to instill work ethic in kids?
No, I know, John. I think I'm going to take yours and take it a little bit better, but I'm going to go back in time. My mom lived during the Great Depression. My dad since died, but my mom did, and said the greatest thing that happened when during the Great Depression was the CCC. So people learned, along with many other things, there was a lot of other things that happened, too, that the government did help fund. So, and they didn't give a lot of people money. They were teaching them a trade. They gave them clothing. They gave them food. Very limited wage earnings. I mean, very, very limited money. But you're right, John. It didn't store pride. It was better than sitting on the corner with a, selling apples or a waving a tin cup around. And what was built with those things? Oh, my God. They built high school football stadiums that still stand today. High school gymnasiums, some of them still stand today. A lot of them were taken down because the school government wanted to spend money that they had. So let's go and build a new, build a Taj Mahal that we didn't need. But I see, if you look at the city of Detroit, which is now defunct and taken over by the state of Michigan, wouldn't a great thing to be to get all those youths you're talking about, John, lots of them in Detroit, and putting them in a CCC-type barrack, ripping down all the dilapidated housing and then turning it into farmland or whatever it has to be, or building new housing and teaching them a trade, a craft would be, how to rip those things down, or maybe rehabilitating some of those homes that need to be that are savable, if they are savable, or some of those buildings and whatnot, and going from there, then moving on to the next city, and then moving on to the next city. Because, if you have to have homes ripped down nowadays, the EPA has to come in. Then this politician, the code inspector, the this dude, the that dude, and a $2,000 job becomes a $15,000 nightmare.
Right.
And, we don't need that. Bring back the CCC and fix the roads and give America's countryside a fresh scrubbing and clean it all up, and you will learn trades. People will feel good about themselves. And it would be good. We've all seen the pictures of downtown Detroit and its surrounding neighborhoods. I see it in Youngstown, Ohio. I'm sure there's some bad spots in L.A. Simon, even around you, there's pockets of just neglect and disrepair and disrespect and all that. I think that would be a great way to get going. And not just kids. How about adults who are just stuck in that proverbial cycle? Get them out. Get some people from Louisiana up to Michigan to see what Michigan's like. People from Michigan down there to help out. And I just think it would be a great way to start getting rid of the infrastructure of housing that's just deplorable when you drive by and you see boarded up houses and buildings and this and that. And then where does the government have everybody living in? Section 8 housing in an apartment complex somewhere where there's more killings. And John, I'm sure you know that. Those projects are nothing but breeding grounds for crime. They're all stacked on top of each other. That's what I think. So the blueprint was there, and from the Great Depression, for through a lot of good things, and it hasn't been followed. Instead, what did we do? We ran and we bailed out Wall Street. We ran and we bailed out GM. Nothing against the GM workers. But you know what they all got? They haven't paid back their loans yet. They still owe the United States taxpayers $30 billion at the minimum. Guess what every GM worker got for March Friday? A check for $6,750.
Right.
They still have not paid back their loans. I don't think they're ever going to pay them back. And I don't believe AIG paid back their money. I mean, do you guys believe that Wall Street paid back all their money? I don't believe it.
I think Wall Street runs on their on their own theory of time.
and I think there's a lot. What are our priorities? That is a nation we have to ask. What are our priorities? Is it to fund rebels in foreign countries? John, you know the number. How many Americans are on food stamps? 60 million? Or is it more than that?
It's around 50 million right now.
I mean, okay. To me, I'd be thinking to myself, you said something. Well, the people in D.C. have integrity and honor, and at least you'd like to think that. How can they sleep at night knowing that there's that many people hurting in this country.
I have long wondered that.
How can they sleep at night? And as Simon has pointed out, taking the effing salaries and perks that they do. How can they sleep at night knowing that? The students are borrowing money up the wazoo so they can't go to the job for it. They go to these schools that are worthless, nothing but diploma mills, that the schools are actually better. The schools are providing entertainment through sports, not educating our kids anymore. Why? Because of the stupid student loans. Get rid of the guaranteed student loans. You know what the price of college is to do? Drop it dramatically. You won't be able to afford to go. They have to drop the prices. That's supply and demand. Economics 101.
Right.
And in the school, then Penn State could take some of its $20 billion endowment, like Stanford, and they could give money. They could pay for people to go to school. Simon sent me in a great email Friday. Hey, Sam, no one bailed my business out, and no one bailed your business out. So why don't you give a damn about them? And Simon, you're right.
Right. I mean, you know, too big to fail. And John, you know, I'm sure your company is hugely successful, but trust me, right, you are not too big to fail.
I'll go with you on that.
The whole thing sucks. We're spending money in all the wrong places, and it doesn't matter if you're viewing it from the Democrat or Republican side. I mean, we're just diving into a horrible spot. You know, the framers did not mean that, you know, these idiots should get huge salaries. In fact, I believe that there's some comment about, it being a volunteer job.
Well, Simon, did you know up until 100 years ago, members of Parliament weren't compensated? Was all voluntary,
right?
It's really within the last 100 years where they started getting paid,
right? And sure, there's this argument about, you know, oh well, I'm poor,
right.
You know, I'd love to do it, but you know, I can't afford to do it because I don't have any money,
right? That's the argument.
Yeah. But right now...
Sure, but yeah, like you say, now they've enriched themselves, and it's the pendulum swung too far, obviously.
Right. I mean, how would you fix it? I'll give you my meat cleaver version.
Well, before I answer that, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
All right. It's a point of parliamentary procedure. Why does Sam get to go off on a tangent and I don't?
Well, John...
I mean, you let him talk for like 15 minutes, and then if I say something, I'll stick to the point.
Well,
I bribed him with some wings. Simon, John, I sent him 14 wings yesterday.
Right.
I mean, Sam covers more ground than Ozzie Smith at shortstop.
John, you could, of course, listen to all of the previous broadcasts. They are available on iTunes as a free download.
Well, normally you don't do that, but today you're like, hey, John, stick to the point.
Right. Well,
it's only an hour show.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to try and keep you in check.
Okay, that's it. All right. I was just wondering.
I'm not sure it worked, but well, hell, I mean, you got to try these things.
But Sam, I do enjoy when you go off on a tangent. It's very entertaining.
Well, thanks, John. I'm you know, that's the nicest compliment you've said to me all week.
Yeah, it's keep it up. I don't mind. I was just wondering why you're on a longer lease than me. That's all.
I live closer to Simon.
All right, but the hot ones, I guess.
Well, and Sam is really easy to get along with.
Okay,
that's right.
Well, what was your question, Simon? Was it Dennis Rodman? Because I did want to get to that eventually.
Oh, yes. Well, let's move on to that. Okay. So, Hillary Clinton has hung up her traveling boots, and Kerry is the new senior diplomat. But who needs diplomats when you have Dennis, I'm completely crazy, Rodman, going to North Korea? Did either of you spot those news items?
Yeah, I've followed it. I thought it was pretty entertaining, and I came up with this. I've determined that Kim Jong-un, I think is his name, Rodman thought he was actually the Dalai Lama, and he was going there to free Tibet. And Kim Jong-un thought Rodman was President Obama, and he wanted to borrow the voting machines from, like Chicago, where they voted 20,000 to nothing for Obama, and have a plebiscite to secure his autonomy. And the only thing was, after the plebiscite, Obama won in a landslide.
Now that's going off on a tangent.
I can't help myself.
That's okay.
Trying to keep John on track.
But it is possible. You know, a lot of people in North Korea live their entire lives behind an electrified fence. People don't know that. They're born into slavery and they never leave that fence.
Right.
And this guy might really think that Rodman is the president. I don't know.
I think Rodman, if you remember him, he's kind of loosey-goosey when it comes to that. I don't know if he's kept as many women as Wilt Chamberlain, but I think he just went. I think he went over there to sleep with what's his name, King Wong. What's his name? Who flung who? Or
Kim Jong Un?
Kim Jong what?
Yeah, but Sam, he doesn't know it. He just went there part of the Globetrotters to have a good time, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I didn't know the Globetrotters were over there until you pointed that out. But
yeah.
The Globetrotters were always considered international with the diplomats, diplomats, whatever you want to say. Look, what was one of the great things that broke the Chinese-American thing with the ping-pong games, remember? The ping-pong tournament when they were, Forrest Gump and some other people were in during the 70s. That opened up diplomacy, believe it or not. That was the start of it. And then Nixon ended up visiting there and stealing whatever he could and bringing it back to America. But I can't believe Rodman was there. But I guess even a communist dictator, fascist, wants to have his photo ops too. I guess that's the lesson of the Rodman and head of the Korea being there. Photo ops are everything.
Yeah, well, Rodman's an entertaining guy.
Oh,
yeah.
Entertaining, as in turns up on ETV. Sure he's entertaining. He's off the wall, but I'm not sure he really is a great diplomat for the U.S. I have no idea how or why the Harlem Globetrotters, thought it would be fun to stage a game in North Korea. I think it's bad diplomacy, and I think it's horrible diplomacy that Dennis Rodman says Kim Jong-un, I love him.
Come on, Simon, but you can't take it seriously. I think, like Sam said, ambassadors of goodwill, whether it's basketball, ping pong, anything that opens up that street has got to be a positive.
Oh. Yeah, as long as it wasn't paid for by the United States taxpayers, I'm all for it, okay?
Right.
So, and if they were over there and, you know, doing something and it kept that guy's eye, you know, hanging up. He played a little one-on-one with Dennis Rodman, asked him about what it was like to sleep with Madonna and did all that sort of stuff, what it was like to play with Michael Jordan, and kept that guy's mind off putting his finger on the nuclear button to attack South Korea. That was a good thing.
I was thinking attacking us. Maybe if he likes Rodman, he won't press the button.
Well, you know, maybe, you know, and I just, you know, he got in and, you know, just, I didn't know what Dennis Rodman, what did he have a reality TV show or no, is he with the actual playing with the Globetrotters?
No, it was part of a documentary done by a company, I believe it's called DICE, and they're usually quite good at making serious documentaries. No, he was tag along.
Is it possible Dennis Rodman is an agent for the CIA? I mean, I saw Argo, okay? I saw what they did. And everybody remember Chuck Barris from The Gong Show? I don't know if you guys literally thought he was in his autobiography, he was an agent for the CIA.
Yeah, he claimed I know. That would be a great
plan. Did you ever see the movie? I forget the name of it, but George Clooney directed it. It was very funny. I forget who played him, but it was serious, too. It was really good. But Chuck Barris from The Gong Show was on a cover, and he was a master spy for the CIA. Maybe that's Rodman doing it. Who would ever suspect Dennis Rodman was there trying to kill that guy with a poison bathing suit or cigar? Oh, no, that was Fidel Castro. I'm sorry. You guys are coming into the poison bathing suit. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
What bothers me slightly is Dennis Rodman is about as sensible as a bag of marbles. I think it's hard to wrap your mind around the idea that he was going to do something serious out there.
Well, he would be a great plant, like Sam said. How'd you like to debrief him after coming home?
They say he can. They say he can party. they say he can party, so obviously he did. And look, I'm sure part of it had to do with Dennis Rodman had to make himself relevant again.
Yeah.
So what not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would never have thought if someone would have said, if no one stands around the bar going, hey, gee, I wonder what Dennis Rodman's up to now, you know?
Yeah, you're right. I hadn't heard of him.
And so he made himself relevant. Don't be surprised if you get something out of this. Maybe he'll be on MSNBC. He'll be on The Five with Fox, who will replace Juan Williams, who's too liberal. Or maybe they'll put him on the Beckett Star. Guarantee you, John, he's on O'Reilly next week when he comes back. Guarantee you. O'Reilly will have fun with him. O'Reilly will have fun with him.
I'd watch it.
Oh, I would. That I'd watch. O'Reilly's the only one on Fox I can handle.
Okay.
Rodman
isn't the first quite famous American to go to North Korea recently. I believe it was Sergey Brin. I might have the name wrong. One of the owners of Google. And Google, by the way, is banned in North Korea. He also made a visit there, which the government gave a thumbs down to, shouldn't be doing this. This isn't good. We're not sanctioning it. Is it good for private individuals to head to North Korea, which is obviously not a friendly nation?
Sure, why not? I mean, I don't, if anything to help to promote goodwill, as John said, whether I'm all for that. Again, especially the taxpayers aren't paying it. But what I can't understand is, why can't we do anything with Cuba? It's only 80 miles from our border, and they don't have nuclear warheads anymore. They were taken out years ago. Why are we doing anything? Why do we still hate Cuba so much?
I think we're kind of not hating Cuba quite as much. But
I mean, we have a base on their island. That kind of, most people think Guantanamo is somewhere else. It's in Cuba. Most people don't know. They go, huh, it is? They go, yeah. But wait a minute, Cuba says we hate Cuba. Yeah, but we have a base there. And it's a torture chamber. But, I would think that, not that the Castros are older, or dying, or quitting, but there's, you talk about opportunity for entrepreneurship. Maybe it's Stevie Wynn, or Sheldon Adelson, or Donald Trump. They know that casinos will rise up there. It'll be a big resort area. John, you and I would like to have Cuban cigars real cheap again, wouldn't you?
I'm down on Cuba, Sam, and the casino thing's been tried there before. Talked to Meyer Lansky and Santo Traficante.
They were a little bit illegal type people. I mean, but normal. My dad went there after World War II. After the war in Europe ended, they ended up in Cuba, waiting to see if they were going to have to invade. Doing a land invasion of Japan, and they were in Cuba waiting. And he said it was the most, it was a beautiful, the people were great, the fun, the food was great, the atmosphere was beautiful, the water was great, the beaches, and, of course, this is pre-revolutionary and all that, but that's all I have to go by it, because my dad told me about it from 19, when he was there for about 3 months in 1945. And other people I know who went there, even at the time that the mafia had the casino there, raved about how it was like the Monte Carlo of the Atlantic Ocean. And people raved about it.
I'll be honest with you. I think it's high time that we lifted all restrictions. And it's boring. It's pointless. It's a small island. Russia no longer has nuclear missiles parked there. Yeah. Let's just get on with life.
Simon, would also drop the prices of sugar, cigars, and some other things that they do there, and open up our markets locally, too. I agree with you. And by the way, I had a professor in college who used to say, the whole Cuban Missile, you would think, listening to American history books, that we didn't have missiles in Turkey, we didn't have missiles in Iran, we had missiles all around the Soviet Union, closer to the Soviet Union than Cuba was to us.
And we had nukes way closer to the USSR than most people realize. Hey, I'll tell you what, we have a caller. Who wants to take a grumpy caller?
Go for it, Simon.
You're the host. All right.
Hello.
We have a caller from the 646 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Did the sequester hurt your technical department, Simon?
apparently. Area code 646 isn't talking, so I'll just...
Do you know what that is, Simon, 646? John, do you know what that is?
Oh.
I think it's New York. New York City.
Yeah. Really? I don't know that. But,
yeah.
You gotta be. We gotta always be careful of the infamous Manny popping up in, with a different voice, right?
Right.
You know, you never know. It could be Manny using one of his remote starters to call somewhere else to then trick us that he's someone else. You know what I mean? Somewhere else. So.
Hey, Sam. Let me ask you.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Chuck Hagel nomination?
I'm kind of torn between it. On one hand, I think it's great that you got an actual Vietnam veteran who actually saw service and has seen the horrors of battle as a Secretary of Defense. I think that is really is excellent. I think that's. I'm glad that someone has actually been shot at and has shot people running the military. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing. On the other hand. Some of his comments about Israel were kind of scared me a little, and what he wanted to do in the Middle East. But overall, I think he's a. I don't care that he was a Republican and Obama was looking out. Obviously, they see eye to eye on something, and I think it has to do with the Middle East, which I'm scared to death of with the Obama administration's lack of. Like I said, the Arab Spring didn't happen, and we still haven't heard about Benghazi. I hate to beat that up. I don't like what's going on with the amount of money going to all these other unstable countries, and Hagel supports that. That bothers me. But I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because he is a decorated military soldier. My son's in the military, and I think they're all expecting good things from him because he was one of them. So I hope that works. How about you? What do you feel?
I don't know. I guess I'm ambivalent like you. I see all the Democrats voted for him, so how bad can he be? I can't believe they'd support him if he was anti-Israel like I've heard. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, he had to apologize for it. He had some stupid things to say when he was in a senator and some other things, and I guess he got some. You know, it's funny, John and Simon, you may agree. Some politicians, Republicans and Democrats, stick their foot in their mouth and get away with it. Others are branded for it forever, and like Mitt Romney will never be. When he dies, it will say they'll bring up the 47% comment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just amazing how. Some people get it and you get away with it, and some people can't.
And don't forget the binders full of women.
The what?
The binders full of women.
Oh, the binders. That one I don't remember, but I remember the 40. Did you happen to see Romney come out of the cave and listen to some of the things you have to say, John or Simon?
Yes, I caught snatches of it. You know, I'm not sure that he is really the best person to represent the Republican Party moving into 2014.
I think he would agree with you.
I think
he just gave that. You will not see anything from him. He's gonna be the Republican Party's version of Al Gore. They're not going to have him at. You know, if you notice, Gore is never at these conventions. He never does anything. Here's a guy who's vice president of the United States twice. Comes from a lineage of Democratic Party. His dad was a senator. His grandfather was a congressperson from Tennessee. And all that, he's gone. You don't see him around at all. And when it comes to politics, the convention, no one wants his endorsement, et cetera. I don't think you see, with Romney, it's going to be the same way. You just don't see him around anymore.
Okay, but why would CPAC invite him to talk? That makes absolutely no sense. You know, best thing with Romney is put him in a room, close the door, and move on.
I bet you'd have to do with one thing, Simon, and one thing only, money. I bet you Mitt's writing, wrote a nice check to CPAC's donation, because he does give a lot of money to that. He always has. And will give a speech. And he probably won't say anything controversial. It'll be Mitt Romney, you know, and that's it. To me, the three faces of the Republican Party are emerging. It's Rand Paul, it's Marco Rubio, and it's the Senate, it's the governor of the governor of Louisiana, Bobby Jindal. Those are the three new faces that right now I see that the Republican kind of going out, the ones who are already throwing the hats in the ring for 2016.
You're missing a big one.
What?
What about the governor of New Jersey?
He is a big one, pun intended. Ha ha ha. No, he can. If he runs, the Republican Party will get clobbered. He's a big government guy. He's got a big mouth to go to his big stomach. And I don't hold anything. I don't think he caught a Romney one vote. And if he did, that person wasn't going to, you know, it was amazing that because a governor of a hurricane-ravaged community is trying to get as much as he possibly can from the federal government, which just showed me that he's nothing more than another big government guy, too. Give me money. And what's happening? How are they administering this money? My son, my family's out in Long Island. You know, there's still places from North Jersey, Long Island, Staten Island, that are still a mess. You would think you haven't heard diddly squat from the mainstream media about how the federal government, Governor Christie, Governor Cuomo, have screwed up, have not fixed up Hurricane Sandy or his holiness, Michael Bloomberg. Yet people in New Orleans still blame George Bush over Katrina 13 years later. I mean, come on. I mean,
but Christie is blue, and he sits in a red area, and yet has a 73% approval rate. That must mean something.
Well, here's my prediction on Chris Christie. There's a current senator of New Jersey who's in big heap of trouble. He's with prostitutes, and I forget. I don't remember what his name is. Maybe you remember, John. That's it. He's going to have to resign, and I think Christie's going to appoint himself to be senator.
Really?
He doesn't think he can beat Cory Booker in the gubernatorial race, even without approval rating. We forget that George Bush Sr. had an 86% approval rating in '92. Before the election began, and he got clobbered by Bill Clinton.
Christie could only become a senator if there are
Menendez resigns and
two
the governor
seats available, because he couldn't fit into one.
Touché, you got me on that one. I'm not a big Chris Christie fan, so I don't know about you, John. Are you?
I like the guy, Sam. He's from a liberal state. He's got to appeal to the people in New Jersey. From all indications, like Simon says, they seem to be happy with him, so I can't really say anything different.
Yeah, the state is the highest tax state, I believe it's the highest tax state in the union. And if it's not, it's even worse than California.
No,
and
I thought
not,
he lowered
it. Yeah, I mean, so when you get that type of money coming in, you're going to be able to spend the money correctly.
It hasn't been scrutinized yet either. Right now, the media is in love with him. Wait till they turn on him, like you say, George Bush, with his high rating. Wait till the media turns on.
John, that's an excellent point. He has not been. They love him because some of the people in the media think he helped Obama.
That's it.
They think he helped
Obama, so they love him now. But that will change if he becomes a viable candidate.
Again.
It's one of their favorites.
Yeah, I think, you know, Obama and most of his staff, you know, Simon, it's been interesting. I've been reading as much as I could on the sequester. Oh, by the way, have any of you read the actual sequester put out by the Office of Management and Budget?
No.
Have you downloaded and tried to read it? You've got to try to read it.
Sam, I read books. But not books that long.
No, this is great fiction. You can't make heads. You talk about double speak, triple speak, economic voodoo economics. You can't make heads or tails out of it. Once you get to the first graph about how sequester kicks in, your eyes start to get glazed over, and I just clicked it off. It's just amazing how difficult they make simple numbers. But then,
hey, Sam, I will ask you who authored it.
Oh, well, those are the Office of Management and Budget, you know, the Obama administration.
They
can't lie about, yeah, but OMB, but they have to tell you how they can. OMB gives all the cabinet places how they can spend and what they can spend, and it's a trickle down effect from there. But you just try to read it, it makes no sense whatsoever. It's like, why can't they say, here's how much money's coming in, here's how much money you're losing? Please deal with it accordingly. You can't even, it makes no sense whatsoever. And we shouldn't be surprised because they make it complicated so they can run end arounds on us and do all sorts of hocus pocus and where we all suffer. But anyway, in reading all this stuff, as I get my hands on what was going on, what some people thought, what Obama's doing is his tactical move right now. If he wants a Republican minority in the House of Representatives, so he's going all out, full stop, fundraising, total campaigning, because he's very good at it, to get the House back for the Democrats and increase and get a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate for the last 2 years. That's all he cares about right now. That's all the Democratic Party cares about right now, the 2010, the midterm elections coming up.
Okay. But with what aim in mind?
According to the reporters who are onto it more than I am, a better domestic legacy and policy than he's getting now. Obamacare times 10. A bigger stamp on domestic policy. Probably stricter gun control. Higher taxes on the wealthy, obviously, some of his other signature programs that he cannot get through right now.
Immigration, that's
true. And things of that. You know, the things that that he wants. That he's all for. That he campaigned on. But yeah, he's stymied. But because what he forgets is, and as a lot of people do, is that. You know, people voted for a split government. They wanted they did retain the House majority. Republican. They voted for Obama overwhelmingly. They did not give him a filibuster-proof Democratic Senate. You know, the Republicans still the minority party still protected there. And that's what they want. But I think what people want to see, and I know you guys do, I know I do, we want to see leadership come out. And work together. And I don't see how you get that when this guy's running around the country. And I don't care that he plays golf and takes a vacation, John. He's entitled to. But what I don't see this guy leadering, being a leader, being a real president. But I got to tell you something. I wasn't a big fan of Bill Clinton's. But boy, in his second term, when he wanted to balance that budget, he decided, and they decided, it was time to work with the Republican majority. They balanced the budget. They did a lot of sweeping changes, and that's why that guy is so beloved as he is right now. He wasn't the perfect man, but he was a hell of a president in his second term. He wanted to be a leader, and he did a great job at it with Gingrich and other people, and he spread the credit around with politicians crave, like crack addicts and crave crack, and he did a good job, and I'm not going to take that away from him. And that's what I thought Obama would do, because he doesn't have to run again. And what is he doing? Running around campaigning nonstop. If I see one more campaign stop with children, I'm going to puke. He's supposed to be the president of the United States. Enough with the campaigning.
Uh-oh. Even John's quiet.
It's just funny to me. Sam actually sounds surprised by it.
I am surprised by it.
Well, the guy ever done campaign. He's never sat down and done any work and tried to fix things.
Well, he never got a real job, but that's fine.
It's just go out and demonize your opponent and tell
positive.
People, hey, call the opposition and tell them to do this, or I'm taking my toys and going home and on vacation.
No, you're absolutely right, but you know what the proof positive is? He never had a real job. The guy's a perpetual campaigner.
You surprised? That's what he's doing. He's going to do it the next 4 years, Sam. That's all he knows.
I hope he doesn't. I hope he doesn't, John. But for the sake of the country, I hope he doesn't. Okay, I'm not a Mitch McConnell type guy who goes, I hope he fails miserably so we can't do anything. We've got to get this country moving in the right direction, and I hope people listen to the radio show and listen to us. We'll do that. And you have to, listen, if he does something right, I'd like to see him do something. But I do agree. John Boehner, they caved and gave in the 1st of January, and all our taxes went up. All my employees went screaming when they got the payroll because now they're out. And I gave them an opportunity. I said, hey, do you want a cash bonus before the end of the year or do you want a salary increase? They all went for the salary increase. I go, you're going to get nailed.
Right.
You're going to get nailed. And they did. What good is it? But what's good about this is it woke up the little guy. The little man, the little woman who made 20, 30, 40, 50,000 all of a sudden got whacked with a tax increase. And he said, wait a minute, I just voted for this guy who said he was going to tax the rich. I'm not the rich. So, and I think that has taken a little shine off his honor and the Democrats, and they can't run around saying tax the rich. And most people say that the comeback is, well, you already did that, and you taxed the little guy, too. And we gave you more money. What are you doing for us, Mr. President? Oh, you're laying off 700,000 federal workers. Woo-woo. I mean, it really doesn't bother me. It has no effect on my life whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And if it does on their lives, it really doesn't. I heard some people screaming, defense contractors aren't going to get deals. I'm thinking, great. No $900 toilet seats are going to be made and billed to the taxpayer. at least we forget that. How much was it for a hammer? $500?
Well, Sam, let me ask you this. I think people can be conditioned to anything. We're right on our way to $5 a gallon gas now in California.
Yeah.
I think not only are we going to get used to that, it'll be 6 and 7 before this guy's out of office and people will accept.
I agree with you. I agree with you. And
but if you told me 10 years ago we'd accept $7 an hour or $7 a gallon gas, I wouldn't have believed it. But when things get so bad, people get conditioned to it.
Yeah, that's true, John, and that's the easy way out. But I think because like in California, like Ohio, where I live, we don't have mass transit. We have buses that have 3 people in them, okay? And people have been conditioned not to ride the bus, but we don't have mass transit here.
We don't have it here either.
Okay, right, you don't. So the gas prices are going to matter. So you're going to
they're not. People will be conditioned. The freeways are as packed as ever.
They have to, because they have to work.
I'm just telling you, it hasn't cut down anybody's
program
at all that I've seen.
Oh, but it has. Because that person is spending less money, or that woman, or that man, or that family is spending less money. If you're spending more money on gasoline,
you are
spending some more. Right, Simon?
We probably were.
Right. If you've got $100 to spend, you've got food, you've got gas. Gas has gone up. So guess what? You can't spend so much on food.
Right. We'll accept the increasing gas prices and just go along with it.
I'm not sure I understand you, John. I'm saying I've got a $100 bill. If suddenly, rather than $25, I have to spend $30 on gas, It means that I have less money for food.
I know. I'm saying, do you think that people will hold the politicians accountable for the rising gas prices, or just accept it and spend less on other essentials?
Oh, I'm pretty certain that everyone, regardless of party label, is going to hold the politicians liable.
Yeah, see, I don't think so. I think we're just going to accept it.
I understand, John, I understand where you're coming from. In recent history of an apathetic society that we live in, I agree with you. I can see your point, and it's a very valid point. It's strong. But I tend to agree with Simon. When it's cost them so much money for gas, they've seen a tax increase.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going out as much. The famous quality of life issues have hurt. They're gonna be pissed, and they're gonna take it out on the incumbents in 2014.
Well, aren't you gonna have to raise your prices too? As gas?
Yes, absolutely.
Your
vendors
are going to charge you more.
Absolutely, I'm going to have to. And what I'm going to see is, what I have to hope for is people who are now, when gas is cheaper, they might have ventured out, let's say 20 miles to go to get some wings, 20
right.
miles to go watch the football game on TV, may go, you know what, I'm just going to walk down the street to both places and have my wings and have my beer there. I got to get out of the house. You know, my wife's going to kill me. Blah, blah, blah. I'm going stir crazy. So I'm going to walk down. So I think you'll see people staying closer together in their communities. Last night, we had a dinner party here at my house. We had six people and everyone was so happy. You didn't have to drive anywhere and spend money. You know, and everybody brought something, you know, that they, you know, it was nice, and we had a great time. I think we'll start seeing things like that too. Neighbors will get more in touch with me. There'll be some good will come out of it, because you're not going to be able to go out and drive and do things. You know, filling up the gas tank, you know, costs you $100 to do it, or a week. You know, it's $450 of, you know, months, 4.5 weeks, you know. It's a lot of dough. And I know my wife and I, you know, we like wine, okay? We're now drinking, you know, $7.99 bottles of wine. You know, we used to maybe buy a $20 bottle of wine a year ago, and we've cut way down, you know, in regards to that. And looking for deals. We're all out. Her and I are constantly looking for bargains, where in the past I used to do what was the easiest thing to do as a businessman, you know, for time. You know, because time is money, obviously, for all of us. And if it meant running to, I go to Sam's Club and only buy a few things. Because I found out that, gee, my neighborhood grocery store sells some things cheaper than Sam's Club, and I don't have to buy in bulk. And vice versa, and running around looking for deals, and doing so, I eat up a lot of gas, but I am saving money in the long run for my business and my and our personal consumption. I hate doing it. I got better things to do with my time than run around and try to find a deal. But I have to, just like a lot of others, just like you do, John, just like you do, Simon. You know,
right.
If gas goes up to, and I agree with you, John, it's going to go. My son doesn't paycheck to paycheck, you know, working for the military out in California, and he would make the same salary back here in Youngstown. And he's trying to get transferred to the base here because his salary would not change. His Phoenix Raven special ops would not change. He would still be doing missions. But his cost of living would be so much cheaper, he could live a happier life. And that's what he wants to do. And so he does love California, loves the weather, loves the women, loves the ability to go everywhere, and it's got so much going for it, but it's so expensive to live there. He's looking to come back here.
Yeah.
Because of that. And I think that, for people like that, California, which used to be that's where you went. You'll go west, young man, go west, young woman. It's too expensive to go west. I'm amazed at what my daughter and son-in-law paid for an apartment in Manhattan, whereas 4 years ago they were, because of the housing bubble, the rent was $1,800 a month. They're paying $3,600 a month in rent for 1.5-bedroom apartment. I mean, that's outrageous. The landlord should be, you know, sticking a gun in their back every day. But guess what? They got a waiting list to get into the building. A waiting list.
Okay, folks, I hate to do this, but we're flat out of time. I do hope that we can pick this conversation up next Sunday. Sam, do you have any parting thoughts for us?
Yes, of course. John, I love you. Simon, I love you. Peter, I miss you. Manny, I miss you. Listening audience, you're in for a treat today because John let me go on in tangents, and he didn't, so that was a treat. And I had a great time. I hope everyone has a wonderful week. The winner's still stuck here in Northeast Ohio, driving all of us crazy. I hope it goes away soon and doesn't affect anybody. And I'm thinking of having Dennis Rodman as a guest wingmaker at Bill's Place next Monday night.
Oh, Lord. I'm going to have a lie down after that. Okay, John, you always have some words of wisdom.
Oh, thanks, Simon. Appreciate the sarcasm. I hope we gave your listeners some water cooler conversation for tomorrow, since there's no football on. And Sam, I enjoyed your tangent, and you got to take advantage of it while you can, because the panel was absent its two attorneys, so that's why you got to talk so much. But don't count on it in the future. You know what I'm saying? When those attorneys come back, you're going to be you.
And there's nothing wrong with attorneys.
Oh, no, they just talk a lot.
And as Shakespeare said, they say it's nothing.
Gentlemen, it has been an absolute pleasure. Okay, I'm lying. But...
Great show. I was at the best time.
That was good. I'm going to get your candor for once.
but it certainly was fun. Please join us again next week. And I'm sure we'll be arguing about the same or similar issues. Till then, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy and safe week. Until next time, goodbye.